lights my path, how it guides my way.
Hi, good morning. We're reading from, I don't, actually don't know what translation we're reading from, because Phil sent a WhatsApp with all the words on.
I actually don't know.
You don't know?
It's from the Bible.
It's from the Bible, for sure. Not New King James, not New American Standard. Anybody who knows can get a sticker at the end. Sorry, I am a class teacher as well. Okay, so we're reading from Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. And then moving on to Daniel 7, verse 27. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Okay, brilliant. Can I just pray for you? Is that okay? Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you for Phil. I just thank you for his heart. I thank you that he is a child of God. I thank you that he lives his life to express what the gospel of Christ is, and to work it out in manifest. Lord, I thank you that his heart is for the people, that he loves the people. Because you love him, he loves those people. We pray, Lord, that as he speaks what you've given him to us, Lord, that seeds will be planted, trees will be watered, and, Lord, that hearts will be changed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. Okay. Praise God. Okay, we're going to think about the gospel of the kingdom, and this is so important. I really encourage you to dive into that Ichthys Forest Hill library and get it, as it were, from the horse's mouth, from Roger, as he spoke so eloquently about the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. And the gospel of the kingdom is bigger. It's much more great and grand than often the gospel has been, if you like, presumed upon or taught or, I suppose, emphasized in the last certainly 100 years or so. And this is a time of restoration in the church, if you like, to the true body of Christ, as we get restored unto us by the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit, the things that we need to emphasize in this season. So when we talk about the gospel, and as I often do, as you know, you go around and you speak to Christians and you speak to non-Christians and say, what is the gospel? If I was to come up to you right now and say, what is the gospel? I wonder what you would say to me. In fact, why don't you throw some things out? Tell me what the gospel is. Brilliant. Anything else? We've got a very compact gospel here so far. Come on. Sorry? Okay. Anything else? Sins forgiven? Yes, absolutely. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Yes, we're seeing something expand out a little bit, but it has been reduced, isn't it, often to man being at the center, and therefore, what is the gospel? It's the forgiveness of my sins. It's what Jesus can do for me. And of course, that's, I'm not saying that's not the gospel, that is the gospel, but it's something much greater. And through this wonderful book that Roger wrote, The Kingdom of Jesus, we're seeing something that Jesus inaugurated, and it's something that we need to see restored in the church. Otherwise, what we're seeing in the church, or those who want to identify, if you like, as cultural Christians, they want to have a misplaced hope in a political or a cultural power and a cultural agenda. But, you know, as the nations shake, and boy, the nations are starting to shake, there's often a desire, if you like, for political solutions. And I just want to say, I want to emphasize today, I'm not looking at Westminster for a solution, hallelujah. I want to look at heaven. I want to look at the God of heaven, who's got something so much better, so much more wonderful. And so we want to resist, if you like, this thinking. If we can just fix the system, if we can just get the right people in charge, then we can really fix the world. But you know, when Jesus came onto the scene, there was a lot of that same pressure. We've got to get you just in charge of a bit more of Rome. If we can only fix Rome, we can fix the world. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And I want to say, hallelujah, it's not of this world. John 18:36. But it's something better. Zechariah was pointing towards it, not by might or even power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. So Jesus didn't preach this kind of vague picture of hope, but he was preaching something different. He said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God. It's for this purpose that I was sent. So we've got to expand our vision of the gospel. The gospel isn't just, it's much bigger than just forgiveness of sins. Can I hear a hallelujah? Can we pretend like we're a little bit Pentecostal in this church today? Is that right? It's a bit bigger than heaven in the sky when we die. It's a little bit bigger than my personal blessing. It's a bit bigger than a sinner's prayer. It's a bit bigger than a priestly hope. It's a little bit bigger than to seek and save the lost. It's much bigger than that. Hallelujah. And this is the announcement that Jesus has come to bring the reign of God into the earthly realm. Hallelujah. It's an invasion of heaven into earth. And that's what we need. That's what we need to stand on. That's what we need to proclaim. And it's for every tribe and tongue and nation. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you, unite the kingdom or not going to unite the kingdom. But there is sometimes a desire, isn't there, to see as we see the nation shake. Oh, we've got to hold it together. We need to hold this bit of the kingdom together. The nations are going to shake. The nations are going to fall. But the kingdom of our God will last forever. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God that we need to proclaim. Isaiah 9:7 says of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. That's good news, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's not just a few more quid in your pocket, hallelujah, but it's Jesus in your heart. Isn't that something so much better? And we're heading somewhere. History is heading somewhere. And you're not going to find it in any political manifesto, hallelujah, except the one given to us from Jesus himself. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, amen. That's where we are headed. Now, a lot of you will know this message already because you hear it from some really esteemed theologians in this congregation. But when they want to get the real big guns out, that's when they send me, okay? So I'll be here to just say that it has to be simple if it's me, isn't it? But the kingdom of God is about the rule of God. I wonder what the rule of God looks like. Well, we get an image of it, don't we, in the inbreaking with the king himself. Wherever there's a king, there's going to be a kingdom. And wherever Jesus is, we start to see what this kingdom really starts to look like. It's the reign of God breaking into history, breaking into lives. And I think that we should be really, really praying for that and engaging with that more and more as we see the shaking of the world. That's Jesus on the phone there right now. Matthew 6 and verse 10, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what I'm saying is that the Lord is really wanting his church, we're not in a big cosmic waiting room sitting on our hands waiting for heaven, amen? There's work for us to do. So much work for us to do. And things are going to move very quickly in this hour. And so the Lord is looking for his church to be responsible and say, I want to be a part of this kingdom advance. Well, how can we be a part of it? Well, we start to pray the kind of prayers that Jesus wanted to confer upon the church. And the kind of prayers that Jesus wanted to be central to the life of the church is to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because what we're doing is we are anticipating that Jesus is not just going to be up there pie in the sky when we die, but Jesus who came to this earth is going to return with power and glory with all of the angels to establish his kingdom on this earth. And we want to pull things down out of heaven. And we're doing that as we pray for God's kingdom purposes. So let's just make that little bit of correction to say that this gospel is not just about me. Jesus came for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me. Well, it is those things, but that is me. It's about me and my destiny and my needs. And then what tends to happen is, if I'm at the center of the gospel story, do you know what happens is, we go, oh, wonderful, I'm at the center of the gospel story. Now I'm going to live my life and I'm going to ask Jesus, Jesus, aren't you so blessed to come and bless me and the plans that I have and this is what we're going to do this year? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great, Jesus, that you could be a part of my life? My life, isn't that wonderful? We want Jesus at the heart of the gospel so that we can join him with his kingdom purposes. And that is what it is to have life and life in all of its fullness. It is to know him, to walk after him, to pursue him, to lay hold of the things that... Has it ever occurred to us in this church? I'm sure it has. But does it occur to us regularly to say, Lord, what is on your heart? What is it that you want to do? What is it that? Where is it that you want to go? Where is it that you want to see your kingdom extended? Because I tell you this, the night is nearly over. The night is nearly over. And the sun is going to arise on this earth in such a way that darkness will be expelled forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. No more chaos. No more wars. No more missiles flying around and hitting hospitals and places where people live and work. We're trying to raise families. No more of that. But the weapons of this age will be turned into plowshares. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. And, you know, at the end of World War II, the world was feeling exhausted and there was a desire for peace. But, you know, man is never able to establish peace in the way that God is able to establish peace. Even when... I don't know when it's going to be, but even when the Antichrist reigns for a short season in this world, what is his number? 666. Yeah? 666. So even in the extreme best, if you like, or worst, we could say, of man, not just a man, but a man of a man of a man, in the Antichrist, that 6 will never be 7. Hallelujah. My God is 777. He is complete. He's holy. He's perfect perfection. And that's where this world is headed. It's into the perfection which is brought to us in the person of Jesus. We need a kingdom that looks like Jesus Christ. Amen. We need a kingdom that is full of the goodness of God. And the church must enter into this prayer, this desire, and this vision of where things are going, because God is going to, it would be inappropriate for a perfect God of justice and righteousness and peace to allow rebellion and wickedness and chaos to live on forever in this world without a judgment coming upon it. So that judgment will come upon the world, and it will come through the righteous Son of God. So how do we know that Jesus was bringing the kingdom? Because Jesus isn't here right now. So where is he? And what about this kingdom that Jesus is going to bring? How do we know that he is the right one? Well, number one, we need to not just recover the gospel of the kingdom, but we need to recover all that it is. And number one, it is the works of his power. My God is a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. He's not just a king with a message. He's a king with authority, hallelujah. And we need to see that restored in these days, because Jesus didn't just talk the kingdom. I've got a nice message for you this morning. It's all about the kingdom. Well, that's interesting. I've got a book for you to read. No, it wasn't just that. Matthew 12, 28, we see, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's the gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel of the kingdom is about expelling darkness. It's about breaking through. It's about laying hold of the power of God. And there may be people here today that need to lay hold of the power of God to see demons expelled from their lives. That's the ordinary stuff of the kingdom. It's not to point fingers at individuals, But we do need to see demons cast out of people's lives. Now, my wonderful son at this time, he's in Nepal. And I said, one of the things you're going to love is, apart from the fiery worship over there, is you are going to see demons cast out. You're going to see demonstrations of the kingdom of God. You're going to see miracles. I mean, it's pretty ordinary. It's been a few years, but last time I was over there, I was preaching in a church that was about 3 weeks old. It was a tiny little space, just smaller than the front of this church building here. And this tiny little room that they'd rented in the middle of a housing estate. I had to preach, basically I was pinned against the wall when I was preaching because there were so many people packed into this church. And about 50% of the people that were there were Hindus. And they were there because you can't easily get access to healthcare. You can't get to a hospital. Even if you can't get to a hospital, it's so prohibitively expensive. So what's your solution? We go to church. And when we lay hold of the kingdom of God, miracles happen. Hallelujah. That is a practical outworking and a demonstration that Jesus brought the kingdom. We need to see demons cast out. We need to see physical bodies being restored. That's one of the evidences of the kingdom. Now remember, John the Baptist went through a little period of uncertainty. Maybe you've gone through a little bit of a period of uncertainty in terms of your walk with Jesus. And is it you? Are you the one we're waiting for? Or should we be looking for someone else? And what does Jesus say? He says, go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's his answer. That's his answer. The king replies by saying, these are the signs. You know the signs of the kingdom of God. I am the king of the kingdom because I have brought the demonstration of the power of God. We must see this recovered in the church, amen, in these days. Hallelujah. The second thing is the defeat of Satan's kingdom. There is an invasion of the kingdom of heaven wherever Jesus is ministering and bringing glory to his name. And Jesus, when Jesus came into the world, that was a confrontation. We are living, if you like, in the crossover of the age that we live in, this present evil age, and the age to come. And it is the clashing of two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's beloved Son. But when Jesus came into the world, he said this, now is the judgment of this world. The ruler of this world will be cast out. Hallelujah. Now, is there an answer to the problem of evil and Satan in any world religion? No. But there's an answer to the problem of Satan and evil and demons in this generation through the risen Son of God. They cannot cope with his name even, let alone his power. We need to proclaim this present evil age that we live in, where Satan has control. He's been dethroned already by the risen Son of God. Hallelujah. And all the demons know it. Hallelujah. But sometimes the church forgets it. We need to remember the judgment has already begun in this world and Satan is going to be cast out forever. Hallelujah. The third thing is about his fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We could go into lots of passages, but the things, the evidences, the signs of the Messiah, if you were in that period and you were a priest, you might find that people were coming up to you and saying, I was lame and now I can walk. I had leprosy, now I've been healed. You would present yourself to the priest. And the priest was supposed to go, aha, that's the Messiah. He's here, he's amongst us. But instead they checked their watches and they were like, hang on a minute, who's healing people on the wrong day? that's how we look at it. So we see how religion can blind us to the truth of Jesus. So this is why we must ask that the Lord would give us in these final days of deception a love of the truth, amen? Because if you ask the Lord to give you a love of the truth, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to love Jesus because he is the truth, amen? That's what we need to ask for. So the kingdom has already broken in. But what I'm saying is in this time of collision, we're going to see victory and we're going to see things that look like defeat. Now, Jesus being on the cross looks a lot like defeat, doesn't it? And there are a lot of people saying, I don't know if I can worship this carpenter on a tree because it looks like all the powers of the world have conspired against him and they've defeated them. except on the third day, hallelujah, when he comes through the open tomb and he declares his victory over sin, over death, over hell. But there's times when we look around at the church and we look around the world and it looks like we're on the edge of defeat. But do not despair. Get into the book of Revelation and you will see, if you like, from heaven's perspective, that even people who suffer unto death, even martyrs in Nigeria today, they are not lost to God. They're not lost to heaven. They're not lost to God's eternal purposes, hallelujah. But they will reign with Jesus forever and ever, hallelujah. Our God reigns. He's got an answer to death. He's got an answer to things which look like, because we always lock in on the earth. It's why people are going, I mean, I've just come back from the Northeast. I don't know if you recognize the accent slightly, but you know, it's there. It's just a little tinge of it. But it's kind of bizarre driving around the Northeast, and of course we see these England flags everywhere. And I know what people are doing in a way. They see that their nation is being destroyed. And who's destroying it? Is it the globalists? Is it the people in our government who want to destroy it and conspire against it? And there's a resistance at that level. And I recognize that. People don't want to see something like a society being destroyed. But the kingdoms will rise and the kingdoms will fall. But the kingdom of God will last forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's why we need to lift up the flag of the Lamb. Our Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him. Hallelujah. Because even those who grab and attach themselves to power, you know, we see people like Alexander the Great. He went and he conquered the world. No, he didn't. Genghis Khan, he conquered the world. No, he didn't. These people were conquered by the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, the things of this world. They were conquered by those things. They were defeated. But my God went through this world. He was not conquered by any sin. And he rose victorious. Hallelujah. My God conquered the world. But the kings of this world don't conquer. They just grab hold of a bit of power. And then God removes it from them and says, you're just like dust. Hallelujah. So, some years ago, whenever I go up to the Northeast, I take my wife, I have to kind of show off the area. This is the area I grew up in. And one of the places she loves for us to go to together is a place called Beamish Museum. Have you ever been to Beamish Museum? Anyone? Yes, you have. Northern Lass. Yeah, you've been to Beamish Museum. It's a fantastic place because it's not like going to a museum where you're looking at things in glass cases, you know, but it's an open-air museum. So what they've done is they've rebuilt a small town mining community in the Northeast, exactly as it was going back 150 years plus. And the people who work there, they put on the costumes. It's a little bit like walking into a Catherine Cookson novel or something like that. So you go in and they make sweets just like they used to 150 years ago. You travel around on trams. You get taken down into a pit by a man who worked in the pits. And he tells you all about life in that era. But they've got a Methodist church right at the heart of it. And I was very keen to see that. And I went in with Haley and we were looking at this Methodist chapel. And there was a guy in there and he was looking at different things in there. And I was very keen to engage him with the good news of Jesus. So I went to speak to him about Jesus and tried to open up the conversation. And the way he shut me down was this. He turned to me and he said, some people, you know what? He says, some people, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. How about that? Have you heard that one before? And I felt a little bit disappointed, but I kept on trying to talk to him. But I was reflecting on what he said. And actually, the truth is the opposite. We need to be more heavenly minded that we might be more earthly good. If you fill yourself with the person of Jesus, if you fill your heart with the Holy Spirit, if you open your life up to God's desires and his purposes, then we start to lay hold of a power and a love and a source which is not belonging to this realm, but it's belonging to the kingdom which is to come. Because that kingdom has already begun to break in. And wherever there is darkness and despair and we lay hold of the hope of heaven, we're laying hold of something of that kingdom which is coming. Nothing can stop it from coming. It's already going to come because God has already brought it in. Satan's authority is already defeated. It's not removed, but it's already being defeated. And the kingdom is already present, even though it's not yet visible. But one day, brothers and sisters, that kingdom is going to be visible, because it's not just the king who is returning, but he's going to establish his kingdom over all of the earth. And I think it is a wonderful reality for us to lay hold of. We need miracles. We need demons cast out. We need promises of the future. We need the victories that God can bring. And this is why we need to pray for revival now. We need to pray for the victory of our God in all of these different places where we see things that just point towards the stuff of this age. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be locked in to the sins of the flesh. Why? Because it will disappoint God. No, not it will disappoint God. It may cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved. But one of the reasons why we shouldn't engage in sin, willful sin now, is because it's belonging to stuff which is passing away. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. We need more of that in our lives. We need more of that in our churches. And we need to recover that, this emphasis on the gospel of the kingdom, the fullness of every tribe and tongue and nation bowing before the throne of our God. It's expansive. It's something much greater than me. It's about Jesus. It's about his reign. It's about his love. It's about his desires. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord God, in particularly in this hour where kingdoms are shaking, and we're seeing kingdoms fall apart and leaders fall apart in different ways, and wars and rumors of wars. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, that where the kingdoms of this world operate often by fear, by death, by the power of the sword, by heavy legislation, thank you, Lord Jesus, that the kingdom of God is governed by love and life, new life, restoration, the poor being welcomed in, the people who are on the outside being invited. You don't need to be a certain power or class of person to enter in. You've just got to have a heart that says, I want Jesus and I want to be a part of his kingdom. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd restore, Lord God, restore this sense of what you're doing in the earth, Lord God, because we see where things are headed, and they are headed towards your government, which will increase with justice and righteousness and peace and love, Lord God. So we pray, Lord Jesus, also for an increase, Lord God, an exponential increase, Lord God, of the power of God, the demonstration of your kingdom and its supremacy over the kingdoms of this world. So cast out all darkness, cast out all of the demonic, push out, Lord God, any curses that might be upon the people's lives here in this place. We plead the blood, the victorious blood of Jesus, over every life, every heart, every mind. And we pray that your love, Lord God, might expand within us, Lord God, and we'll go out and teach this world about this wonderful King who will soon return in glory and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living